This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
I thought it was a winnable game. We had our chances. They scored one more goal than us. That's how it feels now after. We created a lot, and I think we could have scored a couple more.
Next up, Sabres are in Florida this weekend. Four games to go in the regular season. Welcome in at Sabres Live. It's Ryan Miller night in Rochester this evening, which is probably a bigger talking point right now, Marty, I think, based on him being in town for the catwalk for charity last night and your connection with the Amherst and your place in team history there. Devin Levi's ongoing building, you know, career there, and based on, you know, developing and projecting, which is what we're often talking about here. I do wonder just kind of, you know, how you see, well, Levi following your lead, Miller's lead, others' lead as we look forward here.
So, first of all, great choice of hat, duffer, and sweatshirt, the Amherst. And it's kind of not on display, but I do have my one Amherst sweatshirt. I have a little Amherst patch over here. It's like the one three-quarter zip they gave us at the golf tournament the 1 year. So,
I missed that one.
Yeah, maybe that's the one you weren't at, or maybe you just, we were too busy broadcasting in the rain and then we came
usually,
out.
The issue is usually sizing. And if I arrive anywhere after being the fifth person there, they don't have my size. So,
yeah,
because they, maybe. You know, anyway,
well, we got to talk to Warren and put that size aside for you before you get there. So we'll do that next time. But okay. So funny enough today, I was thinking the same thing. Look, the Sabres played last night. It's a loss. It's a fine game. They had 41 shots. They had plenty of shot attempts. They should have scored a few more. Jet Greaves was good. You move on. Like, it's in a regular season, if you lose games like that, you're not going to lose 40 games in the season that way. You may lose a dozen of them. You may lose 15 of them, but you're not going to lose games like that all the time playing well by one goal with 41 shots. Not going to happen. So you kind of like, okay, you chuck it up, move on. You got a big couple of games this weekend. Not so much for the Sabres, but Tampa and Florida, they're in a battle in the Atlantic, so they're going to be big games. But then I was thinking, oh, that's right, Ryan Miller night tonight in Rochester. And I know when I went into the Rochester Americans Hall of Fame, they kept saying, in his four seasons with the Rochester Americans, you know, Marty, and I'm like, I really played two seasons in Rochester. I started my third year, and then I got called up to Buffalo and stayed in Buffalo all year. I played four games that year, I think. And then I'm going to look at it right now. No, I played six games that year. Yeah, so my third year, I played six games, started 6-0, Duffer, not too bad. And then the next year, because I held out and I didn't get signed until late October, I went to Rochester to play a handful of games as conditioning before coming up. So that makes the 4 years. But it was a little kind of, to me, I was like, oh, yeah, I was here, I guess, 4 seasons, but really 2 full seasons. And then I was trying to think of Ryan Miller, like when they introduced Ryan Miller, are they going to say Ian is, how many years did he play? And I'm like, oh, he played 4 seasons in Rochester. 1 year, kind of the same thing after his, you know, I think it was after his injury, his thumb injury, he went to play a couple of games in Rochester to get into conditioning. But Ryan Miller played 3 full seasons in Rochester. Ryan Miller was 25 years old in 05-06 when he came to Buffalo as a full-time Buffalo Sabres. So for, it's like almost like we think like Millsy was a 22-year-old prodigy that got called up to Buffalo and all of a sudden light the league up on fire.
I've never thought that. I don't know who does, but
yeah, but you obviously kind of know and see and study it all. But I think
we know it took a long time. I mean, he was drafted in 99. He didn't hit it until after the lockout. Like
05-06, yeah. But the amount of success early on that he had in Buffalo almost makes it look like, and maybe it's because there was a lockout year that year kind of gets washed. But
yeah,
my perception of it was when Millsy came to Buffalo that he was still like a young player. I mean, geez, I was 22 years old when I got my first full experience in Buffalo, and Millsy was 25. There's a 3 years difference there.
Right.
And
so, Levi's 23 right now.
Levi's 23 right now, exactly.
December, so that's kind of why we're having technically the discussion what, here. Not this that every is path what, is in any way similar, but.
Yeah, but this is Devin's really second full season in Rochester. Like even last year, there was some, you know, time up and down, but let's just put it at his second full year. 26 games last year in Rochester and 39 this year. So is Devin Levi behind, you know, like in his development because he's not in Buffalo? No. Would he be behind in his development if he wasn't in Buffalo next year? No. Look at Ryan Miller. Ryan Miller was 24 years old playing another year in Rochester. Now, there was a lockout. So maybe Ryan Miller would have been in Buffalo as a 24-year-old, his third year in Rochester, but there was a lockout. He played a whole year in Rochester, and it benefited him because then the next year he was ready for the NHL. So that's the story of Ryan Miller. And even though that was 20 years ago, I think it's still relevant to see some of the paths of other goaltenders and now kind of look at Levi and, you know, we look at Luukkonen and looking at where this is all going to go.
Well, interestingly, when you mention the lockout, so 04-05 goes by the boards for the NHL, but it didn't prevent Levi Miller from playing at the highest level available, which was the AHL. Levi, on the other hand, look what happened with the pandemic. That's a missed year in college.
Yeah.
So there are situations, but they're not equal here. Like he missed a year. Like Ryan's college career is one of legend.
Yeah.
Based on number of games played. Levi only got 2 years there.
Yeah.
So it changes the development, right? A little bit. Maybe not. You know, for the sake of this conversation, it doesn't change it. Who knows, though? How can one answer this?
Well, right? The same thing we talked about Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen and the fact that he missed some development time in Rochester. Mm-hmm. But, like, the conversation kind of goes with Caden Primo in Montreal. He missed some development time in the American League, in Laval, because of the pandemic and because of, you know, the way that things were structured. Mm-hmm. The same thing with everybody. Now, does that mean everybody's going to be delayed in their development? No, but that means that if there is a little delay or if there is an opportunity to say, hey, let's spend another year of development to make sure that we're going to the right place, it's not a bad thing. It's absolutely not a bad thing. Do I anticipate Levi to be, you know, potentially in Buffalo next year? Yeah, I anticipate, but But it comes with other decisions. Mm-hmm. It comes with other decisions. Are you going to roll Lucan and Levi next year in Buffalo? I don't like that. I don't like Lucan and Levi in Buffalo next year because you have a question mark in Lucan and you have a still a question mark in Levi. And he needs to be, if in Buffalo, there as a backup to learn all year. But is that going to be the situation if you have Lucan and Levi? But if you have Lucan in there, do you bring back a guy like Reimer and say Levi can be in Rochester one more year, but we need a veteran presence that could take some, you know, responsibility away from Luukkonen if that's the way. There's a lot of things that you can look at right now, but if Levi plays in Rochester next year, it's not a fill and he's done and he's washed up. No, it's just different guys have different development paths.
Mm-hmm. By the way, I'm told that Devin will be using a Ryan Miller Game Use stick during the warm-ups tonight.
No Rochester. Way.
Yes.
That is so cool. Mm-hmm. That thing is going to be heavy. I'm telling you. I'm telling you, Devin. Like, it's not your, you know, your CCM stick that you have right now. That CCM stick that Millsy used back in the days, that is a piece of lumber. I mean, it evolved over the years, but that was a piece of lumber.
It's really great, all the things that are happening, you know, to honor Ryan tonight and go to amherst.com, you know, to find out just a little more on everything. And obviously, as always, get there early. Ryan was not, in your opinion, as prepared as you might have been for the speaking component of tonight.
Well, I asked him yesterday.
I think he was underselling his preparation for tonight.
Ryan is so methodical in everything that he does. So if he says he's halfway prepared or whatnot, he's probably 99.99999% prepared when you figured the rest of the world and how they go about things. And look, when I remember writing my speech down for Rochester, my Hall of Fame ceremony, like the day before. And then the day of, I went through it with the time, a stopwatch to see like how long it was going to be. And there's no way you can prepare 100% for those type of situation. There's always, you know, things that crosses your mind as you go through your speech. You see somebody, you see something, you want to talk about it. So I think Millsy is going to be awesome tonight. So if you're going to be there and you're going to be able to enjoy the ceremonies, I think it's going to be fantastic. And he gets emotional, which is great. I didn't think I was going to get emotional. And then I got there and it just really boiled up, right? And at the very end, I couldn't even say my last line. And I still remember what my last line was. My last line was, they say it takes a village to raise a child. Well, my village was Rochester. And I cracked up. I was like, my village is Rochester. And that's what it meant. And yeah. I'm sure it's going to be the same thing for Millsy because Rochester and the time that we spend there meant a lot.
And just, you know, looking back, you know, and by the way, the Amherst are taking on first place Laval tonight. And you mentioned Primo and what a really good story he's been for Laval since having an uneven start to the season, to say the least, with the Canadiens. So the Amherst are still in that position of chasing Laval. For a while, they were ahead. The last trip there, they lost two heartbreakers where they were leading in the third period and didn't come away with any points, which is effectively the difference in the standings right now because the Amherst have just two wins and seven head-to-head meetings against the Rocket at 2-4-1. But tonight, I think, and especially in the words of head coach Michael Leone, it's a big test, but it's a statement game. He's been wanting a little bit more from the group the last few games. There is perhaps a tad of inconsistent play based on, you know, the roster, the way it looked. They're going to have, by the looks of it, they're going to have some things looking a little different tonight. Josh Dunn's going to move up between Rusak and Rosén. Kisikov's going to get a good opportunity. You have Wahlberg in the middle. You have Helenius in the middle. these are still really significant opportunities for these guys in front of Devin Levi. And and obviously, Primo came through Northeastern as well. Devin was there for 2 years. He had a 154 goals against in his first year. He had a 224 in his second and final year there, while Ryan Miller, the focal point of tonight from a Hall of Fame induction standpoint, he had 3 years with Michigan State, 136, 132, 177.
That's not even fair. That's not even fair.
Isn't it
crazy? On.
Like, it's just, it's so amazing, but it's not to, like, Devin's numbers, especially in that first year, were off the, like, they're almost impossible to comprehend. And Devin, like so many of the college netminders, Marty, they're the workhorse, right? They play every single game.
Well, and Laval is getting a little bit of a boost in net because they have an injury to Connor Hughes, who is basically the backup to Caden Primo. Mm-hmm. Jacob Fowler has now
signed
his contract and is going to be with the Laval Rockets for the rest of the year. Mm-hmm. Boston College, Jacob Fowler had a 1.63 goals against average this year in 35 games, a 940 save percentage. These college studs, let me call them studs, like these goaltender, like Devin Levi and, you know, Caden Primo at Northeastern, or Ryan Miller and Jacob Fowler and Trey Augustine with Michigan State. And there's a lot of them. Like, it's exciting when they get to the pros because the numbers that they put up in college, they're mind-boggling. Like, to know that you are not giving up more than a 2 goals against average in any of your time in college, like Ryan Miller did. Yep. And so Jacob Fowler did 2 years, a 2.14 and a 1.63. Like, that's incredible. And I know these are the top schools, but the top schools play top competition. And it's very tight. We saw it yesterday in, you know, the Frozen Four. Mm-hmm. You had a game go to double OT. Western Michigan beat Denver 3-2. And the other game was pretty tight in BU beating Penn State 3-1. So those are tight games. Tight college games. Goaltending has a lot to do with it. So, you know, it's I had good numbers in juniors, but I'm like, I wish I would have gone to college to have those type of numbers.
Do you actually wish that now, though, in hindsight? Does part of you miss that? I mean, obviously, your son is living it. How, I mean, other than the obvious, and that is maturation and knowing now what you didn't know then, but I mean, is there a part of you that truly wishes you had taken that path?
There's a part of me that wished that, yes. And junior hockey was different back then. I came in as a 17-year-old, you know, junior hockey player after my midget AAA year at 16. And I got an opportunity to be the number one goaltender. Mm-hmm. Very few goaltender at 17 now in the Canadian Hockey League and Canadian Major Junior get that opportunity. They have to be 18 and sometimes they're 19 before they get to be a number one goalie. Mm-hmm. I think that's why now it's important for those goalies in Major Junior to have maybe another step before they go to pros. And the college and Major Junior rule this season opens that step for goaltenders. But when I was 16, I got recruited by Michigan Tech University and Michigan State University. Mm-hmm. I had no idea what college hockey was.
Right.
They had me take my SAT duffer, okay? Number one, they said I was 16 years old. I wasn't going to go as a 17-year-old because I needed to finish grade 12. We only go to grade 11 in Quebec. So I had to go play a year, maybe junior A in Ontario, and do a grade 12 before going to college. Mm-hmm. And it was going to be all in English. But they said, let's do your SATs to see where you're at. I think I got like a 325. I kid you not. Like, it was like the lowest number you could get. Number one.
Well, what's wrong with that?
A 325
it's
SAT.
Fine.
It's not fine.
Not all I think wired like, to be Dean's List.
Wow. I think you get like 300 points for writing your name. So yeah, exactly. So I mean, but I wasn't going to English schools, and I, you know, even doing math, but doing math in English was different because you have to read the problems, you have to understand the problems. Say like, so I got a terrible score, and then I was like, thank you very much. But I do remember Michigan State sent me their yearbook, right? And Dean Sylvester was playing for Michigan State at that time. And I ended up playing with Dino in Rochester and Buffalo later. So, and Michigan Tech had that coach that had been there forever at the time. And I remember thinking, that's really cool. But I, my path was through major junior, and that was fine. But Mitch Korn took me to Miami, Ohio the one year. I was with the Rochester Americans. We were going to play Cincinnati and Kentucky. Mm-hmm. So we did a little detour with the trainers, and we went to Oxford, Ohio to see Miami, Ohio. And I walked into the campus and I'm like, this is awesome. Like, oh man, I wish I would have played college hockey. Like that experience, right? So yeah, there's a small part of me that wishes I would have done that.
This is for me and hopefully the audience, like I'm really interested in your
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Path, Miller's path, Levi's path, and whether, you know, you can use current day comparables, especially when it comes to likely a finalist for this year's Calder Trophy, but if not, he'll be fourth, and that's Dustin Wolfe, mm-hmm. who, again, had three full years, essentially, in the American Hockey League on the heels of being a Canadian Hockey League goaltender of the year, and then the awards just kept coming and piling up for him as, you know, a member of the American Hockey League. He's also won World Junior Gold, and he's the same age as Devon Levi. So, like, you know, I think this is all very relevant. And then, not surprisingly, I mean, people look at contracts and projections and things like that, and we'll have Shayna Goldman at the bottom of the hour, but we'll, you know, we're partial to talking about offer sheets and things like that. So, like, people want to know, like, what's a logical next deal for Devon Levi? And do you get that done with him before you have any threat? And would there even be any threat anymore? I mean, you could say no, that there's not going to be an offer sheet, but, like, look at the games played for the two guys that went to St. Louis this year.
Yeah.
Levi's got that NHL experience. That's the whole point now, is there should be people taking chances on players that are unproven, so to speak, at the NHL level.
Yeah, I don't think there's any chance that we would see an offer sheet on a guy like Devon Levi. And even if you were to say, we negotiated an offer sheet with Devon Levi, there's never a number right now that would make sense for the Sabres to walk away from it. A team's not going to come in and offer Devon Levi a, you know, $4 million contract, like to say, like, hey, we're giving them all that money. Buffalo is never going to say yes. That's not going to happen. And if they were to want to steal him from Buffalo, it would be at a number that the Sabres would say, we'll match and we'll move on from there. So I don't think that would ever be the case. It's the same thing with J.J. Paterka. People are a little worried about offer sheet. I'm like, If they offer sheet JJ, you match. It's not a big deal. He stays. And you know what? Maybe it helps the negotiation because you have a contract agreed upon. That's what Carolina said when Montreal offered sheet at Sebastian Aho. They said, thank you very much. You made our job easy. So now we have a deal with Aho and it's all done. What's the contract looking like for Devon Levi? That's interesting to me because obviously he's going to be a one-way candidate, even though he was in the American League and the Sabres could probably offer him a two-way contract. I think it's a one-way deal. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a two-year deal for Devon Levi. And I think you're probably saying, listen, you'll make $1.2 million or something one way this year, next year. Keep him at a good number. But you know that he is going to be part of, you know, your crease moving forward. And maybe it's less than that. Look, maybe it's 800 over and a million. Two-year deal, 800, a million, 900, a million, one. Like somewhere around there. I think that would make sense. And then after that, you earned a big deal, then you sign a big deal after that. That would be the way I would go with Devon Levi.
How much does Dustin Wolf, though, make you change your belief-o-meter in Levi based on his path, his age, his size in comparison to Devon Levi?
I believe in Levi because I think he has shown enough to me that I would be fine. Not so much because Dustin Wolf is showing, you know, what he can do. I think it's more like I'm looking at Levi. Now, Dustin Wolf, maybe it's more of a size thing. Maybe there's more of a comparison between the two of them because of the size. They're both, I don't want to say small goaltenders. They're a little smaller, 6 foot, 6'1". Like goalies around the league are 6'3", 6'4". They're much bigger. So maybe there's a comparison there. But I think Levi is doing what he needed to do. Dustin Wolf is proving that if you go through the steps, you can have some success. But Dustin Wolf also came into a team in Calgary that this year was like, we're probably not going to be a contender. Now, I'm sure inside the organization.
Wouldn't Levi be walking into that?
No, I think Levi is walking in a team that is like, we need to be a contender. Where Calgary
the same
was.
As Calgary.
Well, Calgary didn't need to be. Calgary
they,
probably
they have
were like.
Adrian Huberto, they couldn't. And Mackenzie Weegar. And
I know, but I. The Calgary.
And I are
okay, so
here's, on this.
Here's what some people inside the Calgary organization believe that. It doesn't matter what happens between now and the new building. You just got to be good when the new building opens in 3 years from now. So they have 3 years to kind of build up to it. The Sabres don't have 3 years from now to build up to it. Like this year was, we got to make the playoffs. It didn't happen. Okay, next year is we got to make the playoffs. We don't have a, let's take a step every year. I think Calgary took a step this year and Dustin Wolf was part of that step. Levi would walk in here and we'd be like, okay, this team has to make the playoffs now. It's not a play meaningful games in March or April. That's not that. It's play meaningful games at the end of April and May. You have to make the playoffs. A little different.
I don't know. I must be dumb. I can't figure out what the difference is here. Like Dustin Wolf didn't, he was not guaranteed that he was going to play the majority of the games. He earned it.
He took earned
over.
It, yes.
I think that's what I'm trying to say here. It's like, does nobody not look at Wolf and believe that, hey, maybe Levi, like, does this not inspire more people to believe in a quote-unquote undersized goaltender, award-winning numbers? Like, Levi, if he had more body of work here, might have award-winning numbers in the American mm-hmm. Hockey League. Like, it's been that good.
There's a draw. There's definitely a comparison to be drawn there. I just think that this situation where Wolf came in with Dan Vladar this year, mm-hmm. Dan Vladar was not your number one guy. Dan Vladar was, okay, we can do a 1A, 1B situation, but he's not a number one guy.
But based on last year, everybody would have said Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen is twice the goalie of Dan Vladar.
Yes. And if you move into next year, if you were to go in with Luukkonen and Levi next year, you're thinking Lukanen's your number one. Luukkonen has to be your number one. And so Levi comes in into a different situation. And if it's not Luukkonen, if it's somebody else, then that goalie is also your number one. So Levi is not coming in like Dustin Wolf did this year as a, hey, you could be the number one goaltender. I think Levi comes into Buffalo next year, if he comes to Buffalo, as you're the number two and you need that year of experience, because most goalies need a year of experience. Wolf kind of got it at the end of the year before, and then this year just took off and it worked for them. Great. It's awesome. But most goalies need a year of experience at the NHL level to learn how to adapt to it.
I'm glad we came nowhere close to a conclusion on this so we can use it four times next week.
That's Ryan the key. Miller. That's the key to do it. That's the key to do it. Hey, who's the best goalie in the league this year?
Dustin Wolf.
No. Connor Hellebuck.
Connor Hellebuck.
Connor Hellebuck. Connor Hellebuck played 30 games in the AHL, Manitoba Moose, 58 games in St. John's the year before, 2 years in the AHL. He played 88 games in the AHL, and then the next year, 26 games in Winnipeg as a backup goaltender. So that was his 3 years of development. Two strong years at the AHL, 1 year where he played 26 games at the NHL, and then he took off. Everybody's got a different path, but for those that are saying, well, Connor Hellebuck was a stud right from the get-go. Yeah, he was a stud, but he had to work his way there anyway.
I think what I'm saying is you can't resign yourself to being up and this is my development year as a backup. Like, how about trying to be the number one? Isn't that the whole point of all this?
Yes, but that's the individual. Like, if Levi is the guy that comes in and is the backup, he still works to play every game. It's not a filled year if he plays 25 games in a full season and he's here all season.
Family Feud style, I have 19 names on the list. We will not ask for all of them. Where does Ryan Miller rank in Amerk's wins all time?
I'm going to say sixth.
Fourth with 92. You rank where and with how many?
I'm going to rank 92, you said? I'm ranking a little lower. I'm probably eight.
You're 12th with 59. And Devin Levi is 18th with 40. This concludes the non-spontaneous. But
who's number one?
Bobby Perreault is Amherst Hall of Famer. Bobby Perreault is number one with 108. Jerry Cheever's 101. Jacques Cloutier with 96.
I would have gotten the top three, I think. I think I would have gotten the top three there. But
your top three in my books every show, Marty. Shayna Goldman is coming up.
Shayna's number one.
On Fridays, maybe. Sabre fans, you can win a couple of tickets to Fan Appreciation Night, which is coming up this Thursday. Opportunity to receive Jason Zucker's game-worn jersey on the ice after the game. And all you got to do, visit sabres.com/jersey to win. Shayna's next on Sabres Live.
In 2009, 3 days before Halloween, a grisly crime stunned the seaport town of Anacortes, Washington.
I can only describe it as evil.
From 48 Hours, this is Trained to Kill, the dog trainer, the heiress, and the bodyguard.
He couldn't control his obsession.
Who was the hunter and who was the hunted? Follow and listen to Trained to Kill on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.